Now let us seek the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God, we come again before we hear thy word to ask for thy blessing upon it. If thy word does not work in our hearts by the power of the Spirit, it will be ineffective. It will be like the words of men. But Lord, we pray that this living word, Jesus Christ, might show himself. And may this passage of thy word, which is inspired of God, become effectual, working in us. Lord, may we, as a result of thy word, walk closer, walk more zealously and fervently after the Savior, to be his true disciples, loving him with all our hearts. This is our desire, O God. So remove all things that offends thee and help us now to hear as those who would long for the Lord. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
It is a good thing at the close of a year to think of the Savior, Jesus Christ, how he has been faithful to us, how he has cared for our souls in the past weeks and months and the past year. Have you known him? Have you known the blessings of God upon your life? The fact that you are here this evening is a proof that God has been good to you in a variety of ways. But to know the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate way is another thing than simply knowing him from a distance. So this evening I want us to think about the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. From verse 16 of Song of Solomon and chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Song of Solomon and verse 16 says this: "My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved is mine, and I am his." In this book, we have the the best of the 1,005 songs written by King Solomon. We read in the book of Kings, in 1 Kings 4:32, and that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. The Lord had blessed him with such a gift and inspired him in such a way. And so this songbook, the Song of Songs, or the Golden Song, was inspired by God through, and the penman of it was King Solomon. And this has been incorporated in our Bibles, the inspired of God. Some people find a variety of difficulties in connection with this book. They would say, well, the name of God is not mentioned here. And also, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't quote from this book, as far as they can see. And sometimes the language is obscure. And it is not always easy to be sure who the speaker is. But with all of that said, yet for any of God's people who read this book, immediately they say, this is a spiritual book. This must be the Word of God. It speaks of our beloved, Jesus Christ. It speaks of the relationship between the Savior and His church. It's been a source of endless delight to the saintliest of men and women all down the ages. It's a beautiful story. This loving relationship presented in a poetic form all through the book. There is this love of the bridegroom for his bride, and this love of the bride for the bridegroom. This is all emphasized throughout this, as we will see. And this is a wonderful picture of our union with Jesus Christ, the union of the church, the people of God, Christians, with the Savior. the Son of God. This is the heavenly bridegroom and the church, the bride of Christ. And so here is this relationship between Christ and the church. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Throughout the Bible, metaphors or symbols are used to describe marriage, this marriage relationship, the spiritual marriage relationship between Christ and his people, or God and his people. We have many examples of Israel's relationship with Jehovah be described as a marriage relationship. That there's been a bond, a covenant bond between the Lord and his people. Let me give you some examples of that. In Isaiah 54 and verse 5, we read of this. For thy maker, the Lord says to Israel, for thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So thy maker is thy husband. But also then, in the book of Jeremiah, in his prophecy, chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. And the Lord is reminding Israel that they had a loving relationship before. And then, of course, you have, I could mention other passages, but a clear passage from the book of Ephesians. And chapter 5, the letter of Ephesians 5, and verses 23 to 27. Let me read them to you. The Lord says this through the Apostle Paul, and shows the relationship between the husband and wife. Says this, for the husband, verse 23 of Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, and so on. This is a beautiful relationship, and it is beautifully summed up for us in that key verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. What a wonderful thing. Let's think about these words and see something of the nature and the significance of this union, this holy union, which has come about between Christ and the believers. And by way of introduction still, I want to say three things before I come to my three main points on this text. It is a divinely accomplished union. This reunion is a divinely accomplished union. The bride says this, my beloved is mine and I am his. It is the initiative, it is the motivation of the bridegroom that is emphasized here. How wonderful, friends, how wonderful it is that as believers we are married to another, as Paul says, married to another, Jesus Christ, even the Savior who is the lover of our souls. And how wonderful it is that we are made with him, as it were, one flesh. For it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. How wonderful this is. It is saying this, that the source of this union is the Lord. It is divinely accomplished union. And the second thing I want to say, again by way of introduction, it's a gracious union. It's a gracious union. Are we worthy of the Lord saving our souls? Was this bride worthy? No, she was unworthy of her bridegroom's love, and she shows it. If you were to read this whole book, you'll find that there were times that she admits to this, that she's been lazy, she's been sleeping, and so on. She has been distant. She had lost sight of her bridegroom. She was unworthy, and yet the bridegroom was gracious towards her. And we are unworthy of the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read this, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then again, this union is an eternal union. It's an eternal union. It's gracious, it's divine, and it is eternal. We are eternally united with the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. Not even death will part us. Not even death will separate us. We have these words in the Old Testament in Malachi 3:17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord says, you are my jewels. Have you thought of that? To be a jewel of the Lord. We don't see that in ourselves. We don't see any beauty or attraction in ourselves. We feel miserable oftentimes when we think of ourselves. Yet the Lord says, you are my jewel. I will spare them. I will make up my jewel. He makes us. In the last words of Romans chapter 8, we read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your life, Paul says, your life is hid with Christ in God. I am his, and he is mine. So let's think further on this union a little more closely and see exactly what it means to those who can truly say of the Lord, my beloved is mine, the Savior is mine, and I am his. Let's think about this. And I have three things to say to you. And that is, he is my bridegroom, and I am his bride. That, simply that. He is my bridegroom. That's what he's saying. And I am his bride. Secondly, he is my friend. And I am his companion. And thirdly, he is my king. And I am his subject. So first of all, here we are told, my beloved is mine and I am his. He is my bridegroom. And I am his bride. There is no closer, more intimate, or more sacred union than that of a husband and wife. And that is why marriage is honorable, the apostle says. And we have this emphasized in the Word of God, and as we read together in Ephesians chapter 5. You just think of it. Think of it, of this union. Jesus Christ is our bridegroom. Christ is our husband by grace. We could say, as the hymn writer puts it, Jesus, lover of my soul. And I am his bride. What does this mean to us, God's people? Throughout this past year, the Lord has been the same. He continues to be our bridegroom, our husband. Well, it means two things in particular. When it says that that my beloved is mine and I am his, it means that I share his love. I share his love. That's one thing it means. I share his love. Over and over again in the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, the bride calls her bridegroom her beloved. Or lover, we would say today. Beloved. This is a beautiful title. Christ is our beloved. No one can compare to him. To the Christian, nobody else. Even our earthly spouses do not compare to Jesus Christ. And then again and again, this woman, she is speaking of his love for her and also for her love for him. And this is something that they share together. So I share his love. This is an amazing thing, to share the love of Christ. Just as we as believers share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, and as we love him back day by day, think about it. Let me quote you some of the words of his love for her, and think about the love of Jesus Christ to us. So his love for her, verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. She's experienced this love. He has loved her. And through this experience, she knows there's nothing else that would give her this deep pleasure than the love of the Savior. Or in chapter 2 and verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Or in verse 10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love. That's how the Lord is speaking. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Or we can go to other passages and see very similar things. In chapter 4 and verse 7, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. That's how Christ is seeing how he loves us. We could go on quoting other passages, but also this book speaks about our love to the Savior. The love of this bride for the bridegroom is also emphasized here. In verse 7 of chapter 1, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. My soul loveth him, she's saying. My soul loves him. And the soul here is the person, the whole person loves him. Or verse 5 of chapter 2, stay with me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. And again, we could quote many other passages. So there is this sharing of love. He loves her, and she loves him. They share this love together. His love for them is a perfect love. Her love for him is a growing and a love that is being sanctified. But then another thing that we think of is this, that this love, this relationship, it means that I bear his name. I bear his name. He is my bridegroom and I am his bride. So I bear his name. In a Christian marriage, the bride takes the name of the bridegroom. And the same is true with the believer who becomes united by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Christian practice, and especially in countries that have been influenced very much by the gospel of Jesus Christ. When marriage takes place, the wife often or always takes the name of the husband. And it is according to the principles of the Word of God. And it is here in verse 3 of chapter 1. We read this, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. There is the name of the Lord is like an ointment, and it is poured forth. And this is an ointment that would be to put on the skin, to put on the body, so that the smell of it would fill the room. And so she's saying that the name of the Lord, it is like this ointment. We as believers are called in the Scriptures saints because of our union with Jesus Christ, because of this marriage union. And this is how the Apostle Paul begins his letter, for example, various letters, but specifically letter to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 1, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, and called to be saints. Called to be saints. So that is the name given to us by the Lord through this union. Saints of God means holy ones, means the ones who have been separated unto holiness. Oh, but also, we are called Christians. Christians for the same reason. Because we are after Jesus Christ. We are followers of the Messiah. And so we read of the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So here it is. He is my bridegroom and I am his bride. I share his love. I bear his name. But secondly, he is my friend, and I am his companion. My beloved is mine, and I am his. There's friendship here. There's companionship here. He is our friend, and we are his companion. In speaking of the beautiful character of her bridegroom, the bride says this in chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And Jesus Christ, to the believers, to his followers, is the friend of friends. And we are his chosen companions. He says this in John chapter 15 and verse 15. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. So the servant doesn't know what the Lord, the Master, is doing. So this is not his relationship with us. In a sense, we are his servants, but not in the way that we don't know what the Lord is doing. But he says, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Think about it. He is our friend. Jesus Christ, you can say, he is my friend. By God's grace, he's become my friend. There was a time I did not know him, but he's become my friend. And now I am his companion. And this means two things in particular. It means that he tells me of his secrets. He tells me of his secrets. And this is something distinctive. This is something special about friendships. We don't tell everything to everybody, the same things to everybody, the deepest things to everybody. It is to our friends that we share our hearts. Friends share secrets. Abraham, we are told, was the friend of God. And when you compare that with the words of Psalm 25 and verse 14, we read this, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. What a wonderful thing it is to share the Lord's secrets. Knowing His will, that's what it means. Knowing His purpose, that's what it means. What is hidden from others? What is hidden from the rest of the world? What are the hidden things? The knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of His gospel, the peace of God which passes all understanding. These things are hidden from the sight of the world. But for the Christian, the Lord brings these secrets out and shows us. He opens His treasury, that treasure box, and He blesses our souls with all of these things. The secrets of the Lord is shown to us in the Scriptures in His gospel. Before it was hidden, but now it's revealed to those who trust in Him. Now this salvation is given to the Christian. In the book of Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 3 and verse 32, His secret is with the righteous. So this means that He tells me His secrets. But also, it means this friendship, it means that He understands my weakness. He understands my weakness. And the Christian would readily admit, would say, I am weak. I am weak. And the Lord knows these things. There are at least two instances in the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon where the bride, through carelessness, through neglect and through laziness and through indifference, gives her bridegroom or grieves her bridegroom. But He doesn't abandon her. He knows her. He is grieved, but He doesn't abandon. He wouldn't cast her off. And that's something we read in chapter 3. This is the confession of the bride. She says this, by night on my bed I sought Him, whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. So this is something that she has experienced. And He knows all about it. Or in chapter 5, verse 2 onwards, we read this. Again, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. And then she says this. This is her state, you see. She's been careless. She's become lazy. She's become dull in her senses. She says, I have put off my coat. So there's the Savior there. There is the Lord there. There is her beloved there saying, open, open, I am here. And she says, but I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? So this was her response. I have got ready. I have got ready to go to bed. And then he says this, my beloved. Or she says this about him. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. The reference to bowels is the heart. He put his hand through the hole of the door, and my heart was moved. I was stirred up. You see, he had not left her. He was there. She was dull. She was careless. She was lazy. And you might feel like that now. You might feel throughout the last year, you feel that there has been not much improvement. It's actually become worse, maybe. You've become colder. You've become indifferent. You're more involved with other things but the things of God. And yet the Lord is there. He's not forgotten. So then it is, she says in verse 5, of chapter 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Again, he's speaking of this estate. She was too late. She had been so lax about these things that the Lord had distanced himself. But he wasn't altogether gone. As you would read later on, you will see this wonderful union and communion between the bride and the bridegroom. He's not only her bridegroom, but he is her friend. He understands her thoughts. He understands her through and through. He knows what is going on in her breast. We read this in the book of Proverbs and chapter 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Again, I won't stop too long on this one. If you don't have friends, ask yourself this. Am I being friendly? That's a side issue. But the thing that I want us to think about is the next part of the clause. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How wonderful it is that our Lord Jesus Christ bears this relationship to us, and that we can claim him as our friend, our closest friend. We are his friend by grace and by faith. But my friends, listen to what we are shown here. What we are shown by this relationship, that by this friendship to him. He's our friend. He's mine and I am his. But how do we show this friendship toward him? He's faithful towards us. He is making intercession for us. He provides for us. He sends us of his Spirit. But how do we show our friendship towards him? He says this in John 15 and verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. This is how you show me your friendship, he says. If ye do whatsoever I command you. So, he is my bridegroom and I am his bride. He is my friend and I am his companion. And then finally, he is my king. And I am his subject. My beloved is mine, and I am his. I am his. She's saying here, he is my king. I am his subject. Solomon, who in all his earthly glory and prowess and excellence represents the heavenly bridegroom, was a king in his own right. And he, therefore, is showing and portraying the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King. Jesus Christ is referred to as the King of Kings. And remember, Christ reigns. Jesus is not only our bridegroom and our friend, but he is our King. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And that's a reference to Christ. He reigns as king. He's called King of Kings. And again, thinking about his kingship and our relationship to him, we can think about two things in particular. As a king, I own his authority. His authority. In other words, if he is my king, if he is your king, then I must be his loyal subject. I must be all in all for Jesus Christ. And this is something that is throughout Scripture beautifully brought out to us. In Ephesians 5, for example, the wife is to be subject to the husband. the scripture says in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject or is to submit to Christ. And the wife is to reverence her husband, it says. The wife is to reverence, respect, to be in subjection to and to live in obedience to her husband. And all of these things is reference to Jesus Christ. He is my authority in life. He guides me. He leads me. He shows me. But also as my king, I rely upon His wisdom. He is the most wise king. How wise was King Solomon? If we think of it and what the scripture says about him, we read in 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. We read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, the greater than Solomon is here, the Lord said. How wise is our Savior King, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we read in the scriptures. We are wise in Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, He waits to give wisdom to us. He waits to make us wise as Christians and as His followers. We've only taken a brief look at this, my friends. But all of these things are true. It's been true all along. We've experienced various things throughout the past year. He's been our bridegroom. And we have been His bride by grace. We have shared His love. We have felt His love. We have experienced it. We bear His name. He has been our friend. And we have been His companion. He has been more true to us and more faithful to us than we have been to Him. He has been all blessings to us. But we have not always been blessings towards Him. He has been telling us of His good things. He has been opening up His secrets to us. He's guided us and answered our prayers and shown us the way and opened opportunities for us. He has understood our weaknesses, has He not? So He is our friend. But also as our King, He has provided for us, protected us. He has been our authority in life. His word is the thing that we are to obey. His words are life and wisdom, the scripture says. We rely upon His word, His wisdom. All these things have been true of Him and of us. How do you stand then, friends, with regard to all of these things? My beloved is mine, and I am His. Is He our bridegroom? Are we waiting for Him? Do we long for Him? Are we His bride? Is He your friend? Are you His companion? Is He your king? Are you a loyal subject to Jesus Christ? Who else could fill Christ's place? No one. Who else could fill your life? No one. Who else could provide for you? Not only life now, but eternity. No one but Jesus Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am His. May the Lord, in these last days of the year, write His word upon our hearts and make it be fruitful. Amen. Let us pray.